Hello, this is Mark Brown. At the end of the Rough Sleeping Initiative funded Psychologically Informed Environments Conference 2019, we've heard a lot about homelessness, we've heard a lot about mental health, we've heard a lot about substance and drug misuse, and we've heard a lot about how we're doing the wrong things. I'm here with
Rachel Fletcher from Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council.
And what I wanted to ask you, kind of reflecting on the day today, in your capacity as someone closer to commissioning than you are necessarily to frontline services and stuff, how does this, all this psychologically informed environment stuff, like, what kind of sense does it make to you?
Okay, so I think for me, a big question we always get asked as commissioners is around how do you measure, how do you monitor a contract in a psychologically informed way without really stamping out some of the positive outcomes that you're seeing, then how do you capture them really? So that's one of the big questions we were asked today, but also that we've been thinking about for a while. And I think something that runs through all of it and how we've linked commissioning with PI is that it has to come from a point of learning. So everything is about learning and reflection. And if you keep that at the core of what you're doing and remember that when you're designing the spec together, when you're working on, okay, there's been a serious incident, what can we learn from it? Instead of reprimanding, looking at, right, how do we punish? How do we withdraw contracts? How do we, you know, start thinking about recommissioning because something's going wrong? It's what can we learn from it? Where are the values? Where are people coming from? What drives people? So that was talked about earlier. So really building in that scope for learning and reflection throughout.
But that's difficult, isn't it? Nick Maguire was talking about Campbell's Law, which is basically whatever you try and measure, yes, ultimately will change the thing you're trying to measure, perversely usually. Yep. You're the commissioner, you have the money. How do you make sure that you don't ruin the thing that you're trying to create?
Yes, it's a really tricky one. I think we what we tried to do is, a really recently we commissioned a small community pie. We're trying to do a community pie, and it, small amount of money, but we wanted to start somewhere. And we started from a point where we had no answer. So as the commissioner, you normally come with an idea of what you wanted, and then you put the spec out and everyone puts a bid in. We were saying, right, actually these are the frameworks around the money, this is what the money, the very, very bare bones of what it has to satisfy the funding pot, this is what it has to look like, but very, very broad. And then we said, come together, whoever wants to be involved, local businesses involved, people with lived experience, everybody and anybody that had a view or had a vested interest in this would welcomed in to design this specification. So really, so we were all accountable for that, and owned as a community, that this service almost. So when we were looking at how we monitor that and how we make sure the money's going in the right places, we try to let me take it back a couple of steps. We were looking at the specification was about 2 pages long. Now I've seen some specs that are hundreds of pages long because you want to get it so right, it's really detailed, you know exactly what you want to measure. This one was really broad because what we wanted to look at was we wanted the people to come to the service and then say, right, my outcome actually is that I want to get into playing the guitar. And for them, that would be a great outcome. And there would be loads of outcomes that came out from that, either that day, 2-3 years time. But that was something we wanted to capture that in a spec. But how do you capture that in a spec when you haven't necessarily met the clients yet, so you don't know what their outcomes or you don't know what their goals are going to be? So we had to devise this document that was really broad, but also then something that you could pin some bids to. You know, you had to advertise it and get some providers in. So it was around values. We kept it to the values. We kept it to the where were the gaps? What did people want to see? What were the red lines? What, you know, where was the baseline that we wanted to make sure there was? For example, positive KPIs, if you can get such things, but, you know, looking at, there must be access to reflective practice from a trained clinical psychologist, well, at least once a week in the service, which felt like, yes, that is a measurable tick, but it feels like a positive one. So trying to look at how we can positively enforce some of the outcomes and use the data, use outputs, but not use them as a necessary measure of success, but as a measure of learning, how, you know, to inform learning. I don't know if that answers your question very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately a really complicated question, isn't it? And yeah. It's the challenge when anyone says we want to make services mm-hmm. that are person-centred. All services are person-centred, it's just whether they're good for the person
yes.
or not.
Yeah.
But when you talk about, well, we don't know what the outcomes will be because we don't know what people will want.
Uh-huh.
And that usually, that often in the past has kind of stalled the commissioning of things. It's one of the perennial frustrations for smaller organisations yeah. is coming to commissions and going, well, actually, we know what we want to do, but we know that we can't promise you that that will deliver you this thing. Yes. We can promise you that something's going to happen.
Something will happen, yeah. Absolutely. And we sort of said, you know, we had the traditional implementation period when someone won the bid and they came to us saying, you know, God, we haven't got the numbers yet. We're not seeing the people come through. And we said, absolutely, that is not what we're worrying about here. You know, if you get no people turn up for the first 6 weeks and then you get somebody interested and they look in the window and say, actually, next week I think I'll come along, that's where we want to be. So, but it's just how we get that, and we're happy to, you know, comfort them and say, you know, stop panicking about that and do what you need to do. Let's use evidence to inform what we're doing. But then it's the, you know, your wider sector people, maybe people that didn't necessarily win the bid. So, you know, they're looking on and they're understanding where they fit into that. And well, what, how do we measure the success? How do we make sure public, we've got really limited public resource. How do we make sure that's going to the right place, and that you're taking, you know, so you are taking a risk. But I think by doing that really early days investment in the community work, we all were a part of that. We all had a bit of a say in what happened there. So let's all be accountable, even if you weren't the ones that won that money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the big thing for us around the commissioning and the pie, and how do you actually pie-ify, that's not a word, but the commissioning process in itself. So, if, you know, not only commission a pie service, but how can you make the service not re-traumatizing for the providers, for the small providers, the ones that you know, I've just come out of a bidding round, and as in writing a bid, and it's, you know, everything gets paused, you're then head down into this, and you think, well, hang on, how do you go from a place of partnership and relationships, devising the spec together, and then you move from a place of power, you know, we then sit behind the desk, you have then present to us, tell us all your ideas, and we'll mark you and decide if you get the money. That feels like a really unpsychologically informed way approach to things, and that's probably the next step in looking at what procurement is and how do we bend some of those, you know, those really traditional procurement ways. And there was a lot of learning we took from that recent one, because it did feel quite tricky at times, you know, to maintain some of those relationships that you've built, which we've heard today is replies all about your relationships. When money's involved, can there really be a true equal relationship, and does everybody, I guess it's about respect and it's about trust, and you know, everyone's trying to do the right thing, but are we all, I don't know, money gets in the way of things sometimes, doesn't it, even though it can be a really great thing. But it also felt it was quite a tricky power struggle, I think.
So interestingly, listening to you there, one of the things that I've heard today at this conference is that part of the psychologically informed environment stuff is metacognition, is thinking about thinking, is examining what you're thinking and then thinking about why you're thinking that and then what that means. And it's been interesting listening to a commissioner who evidently has picked up those habits very, very much, your reflection. For someone in another organisation, another part of the country, like, if you had to give them three quick pointers,
yep,
towards ways of moving towards more psychologically informed commissioning or services around homelessness or about anything else, like, what would your three quick pointers be?
Okay, top one, I would say, and I guess every organisation will be set up differently, but get to know your procurement team. They're the experts in the law. Obviously, procurement is the legislation is there for a reason, but they'll know where you can flex it. They'll know where you can bend it. They'll know where you can be a bit creative around what you can and can't do. And we've been so fortunate in our Inbase Second Dean to have a procurement team that just, you know, they get homelessness, they get what we're trying to do. They ask why first. We were at the event yesterday, we talked about always start with why. What are we trying to achieve? Why are we trying to achieve that? And then let's try and flex the processes around that rather than having the processes shape what we're trying to do. So that would be, yeah, really get to know, build those relationships with your procurement team, because they can feel like a bit of an add-on at times. and they just do the stuff behind the scenes, but actually they're really, really important to it. Probably the other thing is where we talk about co-creation, and when we looked at this specification and looked at designing services, shaping services, we've done it in the past a few times ago, and actually brought people in when we already knew what we, or we thought we knew what we wanted. That's not co-creation. That's a, you know, really, that's a bit of feedback, you know, a bit of a really rubbish form of consultation maybe, but you know, don't go in with ideas that can, you know, you might have to have some really, some ground rules or some basic pointers that you have to meet, but try not to, almost don't start the thinking until you've come together, because or start the thinking but then be open for that to change, and which is tricky, but get people around, coalition of the willing, get people around as soon as you can, and build time in for that, because it does all take time. Probably the third one I would say, just don't underestimate the power of a cup of tea. So get out of the council, get out of your local authority, get out of the offices, go to your local coffee shop, something, you know, and meet people, talk to people, and doesn't have to, and you know, we're all really focused on, right, what are the actions from this meeting, where are we going from this meeting, actually getting to know them on a personal level can really will help later on down the line when you've got to make a really tough commission decision, or a really, you know, you're trying to unpick a really difficult bid. You've got that personal connection there, build on that, so it's not a waste of time. And I think that's been a real different way of thinking around what a local authority officer is. You know, it's public money, obviously you're accountable to the public purse, but that is a really good investment of that money. Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, just to finish that, I am now busting for a cup of tea, so thank you very much. That was brilliant.